And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are doing our annual Christmas show, an annual commentary on the Christmas celebration. Praise the Lord. This is a time of year. It's an exciting time of year. I mean, when I was a kid, we all loved Christmas. I don't remember a lot of dialogue. There wasn't a lot of anti-Christian, or I don't want to say anti-Christian, but rather anti-Christmas dialogue, where people were against the Christmas holiday for various reasons. I mean, of course, you have the secularists who are against it because they don't want us to be a Christian society. They want to phase out Christianity. They're changing the calendar. No longer is it AD and BC, Anno Domini and before Christ. Now they've come up with ACE and BCE, which means supposedly after Common Era and before Common Era. Or sometimes they'll just say CE, meaning Common Era, which it's disturbing to see Christian writers and authors. I saw recently a Christian commentator actually use that dating system. I think we should resist it and reject it. I don't think we should use it at all, because they're obviously trying to remove the mention of Christ. And I remember when I interviewed Herbert Titus, a Harvard lawyer who is a Christian man, but he talks about the calendar and the phrase in the year of our Lord, that it's a declaration that Christ is the Lord of time. And it's actually a very important legal principle in Western civilization. And it's one that the secularists, the communists, the socialists, and so on, are trying to undermine. There's no question. Nevertheless, we are going to talk about Christmas today and the annual Christmas celebration. Now, it's very interesting that this time of year, you have people who believe they get really bent out of shape over this holiday. And there's the secular side, but then there's also the side of those who are Christians, those who are professing believers in Christ, who somehow or other think that the Christmas celebration is a pagan holiday. And I have to admit, I went through a period there where I thought the same thing, where I thought that Christmas, because this is what you hear over and over again from people who are involved in various discernment ministries. And I spent years when I was developing our film series, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, studying the ancient mystery religion. And there's a lot of pagan symbolism that has been interwoven in the Western world and in parts of America. However, that's part of the story. The other side of the story we're getting ready to tell in our film, The True Christian History of America, which we are working on even now. In fact, I was up till about midnight last night working on the editing for this, and we're trying to get it done here by the early part of 2020. But there is another side. There's an old saying that wherever the Lord establishes a church, the devil comes and builds a chapel. And there's no question that the enemy, anytime a real work of God, a true work of God is happening somewhere, the enemy is going to come in and try to sow tares among the wheat. But I think there's no doubt that some people go to extremes, and you know, where the Christmas holiday is concerned, believing, for example, that Christmas trees are an ancient pagan tradition. This is like one of the common stumbling blocks for people, and it's based on misinformation. I'll never forget years ago when I went to look this up, and I was going to do a show on Christmas and talk about the ancient pagan Christmas trees and this kind of thing. And I went and I started researching it and looking up what they call Asherah poles, because that's typically what they claim the Christmas tree is based on, the ancient Asherah pole, they say. Well, you go look up an Asherah pole, it doesn't look anything like a Christmas tree. It is not a Christmas tree. Don't let anybody tell you that it is. You yourself can go online and you can look up Asherah, A-S-H-E-R-A-H. Just look up these poles. They're trees that are literally carved into the image of a god or a goddess. They don't look anything like a Christmas tree. But here's an example. This is a comment I found online that's found its way into our Facebook feed by a radical female Christian who seems to be getting into the Hebrew roots kind of thing, and refers to God as Yahweh and Yah and this kind of thing. And so here's what she said about Christmas. She said, quote, "I hate this time of year, and I hate that Christians celebrate Nimrod's birthday. It infuriates me. But I praise Yah that when some unknowing person kindly says Merry Christmas to me, instead of saying Happy Nimrod blank," and she uses a word there that I don't want to repeat online, she says, "I just say you too. I really hope it shows some maturity. I still hate trees with the gold and silver balls and with the blank streamers, but so did Jeremiah." And then she quotes Jeremiah 10:4 in the Bible. And then she says, "And I repent for all the years that I unknowingly participated in this sick tradition." She says, "I pray Yah," again, a reference to Yahweh, "make me strong not to offend my family this year by being too vocal, because I hate strife, but I also hate offending Yahweh. Please help me have wisdom and love during this time in Yah's name." Okay? So this was her response to Christmas. Now, I have to tell you, the parts that I'm blanking out in her commentary are more inappropriate than anything that's going to happen during the Christmas celebration. I mean, I won't even repeat some of the things that she put in there in her commentary, because she's making assumptions about things based on, I believe, misinformation. Probably the most common is the mishandling of Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, where people typically go to Jeremiah 10 and verse 2, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest. The work of the hands of the workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." Okay, now what's being referenced here? Is this a reference to Christmas trees? This is what we're told every year, that this is somehow or other a reference to Christmas trees. But anyone can do their research on this, and you really should if you're confused by this. The reference here is not to Christmas trees. The reference here is to idols, idols that were created in the ancient world. And the idols, what they did is they cut down the tree, okay, cut a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. Now, what the workman would do with a tree And if you go study Asherah poles, you'll see exactly what is being referenced here. But typically, when an idol was created in the ancient world, what they would do is they would carve it out of wood, and then they would overlay the idol with gold or silver, sometimes a combination of both. And that's called decking it with gold or decking it with silver. But this was creating an idol. Creating an idol, for example, in the image of a god or a goddess, and then covering it with gold. And the reason they did so was because you couldn't make it of pure gold, because it would be too expensive, and it would also be very, very heavy. So they would carve the idol out of wood into the shape that they wanted it to be. Then they would cover it with gold. It was less expensive, also more lightweight, didn't have as much weight. Now, the reference there, they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Typically, what they would do is take these things and they'd put them on a platform and they'd fasten and hammer it down with nails so that it doesn't move. Then, verse 5, it says, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. In other words, here you have an idol in the shape of a god or a goddess, but it doesn't have the ability to speak. And it says they must needs be born because they cannot go. Why? Now, what they're talking about is fastening the idol to a platform, and then they lift it up, and then they carry it around. You watch Catholics in quite often these third world countries and Latin American countries, they will do this with statues of the Virgin Mary. There's even some videos out there of the Catholics carrying their statue of Mary, right? The Virgin Mary, the Catholic Mary, on a platform. And sometimes in a couple of disturbing videos, the platform collapses and the statue goes crashing to the ground. But this is what's being described here in Jeremiah chapter 10, because this is an ancient pagan practice, fashioning a god out of wood, covering it with gold and or silver, putting it on a platform and then carrying it around and celebrating it that this is their god. This is what's being described here. This has nothing to do with Christmas trees. Absolutely not a thing. And it's an absurd reference. I mean, it's really absurd. I mean, you could just as soon argue that your coffee table that's made out of wood is a reference, that you put a gold set of coasters or something like that that are gold and silver. Oh no, your coffee table, you've decked it with gold and silver. That's a violation of Jeremiah 10. No, it's not. It's just a coffee table. The devil and the pagan gods are not the authors of trees. They're not the ones who created trees. God created the trees. The trees belong to God, and they, when in their proper context, they give glory to God, our creator. And we're thankful to God for trees. We don't look to the powers of darkness and give credit to the devil for God's creation. That's what we have to be careful of. Idols are the abuse, the misuse of God's creation. That's not necessarily a reference to a Christmas tree. Now, we're coming up on a break. We're going to go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the legendary origins of the Christmas tree, which really begin after the Reformation. They have nothing to do with the ancient world. When we come back, right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the celebration of Christmas, why Christians should not be concerned about celebrating Christmas as though it were a pagan holiday. Now, I'm not going to say that every element of the Christmas season is entirely consistent with the Bible and with the commandments of God, etc. Santa Claus and the elves and all that kind of stuff obviously has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. In our household, we never taught our kids about Santa Claus and the elves and this kind of thing, as we never perpetuated that fantasy with them. In fact, we've had some people get upset with us because we don't do the Santa Claus fable. We've always made the focus about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world, that remembering the great gift that God has given to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. That's the real purpose of the Christmas celebration, is to remember the birth of Christ. Now, the practice of remembering the things that God has done on an annual basis or a regular basis and teaching it to your kids, this is something that we're shown over and over and over again in the Old Testament. When things happen, when certain events take place, I mean, this was the whole purpose of the Passover, was to remind the children of Israel when the hand of death passed over the houses of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. So there's an annual remembrance. That's what the Passover is about. And if you study the traditions and the holy days and things like this that are in the Old Testament, what they are is a remembrance of the great things God has done. As Samuel said to the children of Israel, consider how great things God has done for you. And under the New Testament now, when we're not under the legalism of the law, under the New Testament, we are given liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is no harm. There's no wrong in having an annual remembrance of a great thing that God has done, and remembering annually that he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins and to remember the birth of Christ from a biblical perspective, because the birth of Christ is most certainly recorded in the New Testament, I see no harm in the annual remembrance. Obviously, turning it into a a cause for debauchery and drunkenness and this kind of thing, which was the objection of the Puritans. Charles Spurgeon even talked about that. There's a great sermon, a Christmas Eve sermon, that Charles Spurgeon preached back in 1854 on Christmas Eve at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And he preached a sermon called God With Us. And he said, God with us by his incarnation, for the august creator of the world did walk upon this globe. He who made 10,000 orbs, each of them more mighty and more vast than this earth, became the inhabitant of this tiny atom. He who was from everlasting to everlasting came to this world of time and stood upon the narrow neck of land betwixt the two unbounded seas. God with us, he has not lost that name. Jesus had that name on earth, and he has it now in heaven. He is now God with us. Of course, he's making reference to the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. But Spurgeon, who himself had a certain amount of Puritan, he admitted he had a puritanical view of Christmas in that he didn't necessarily think that its celebration was biblical, but he did not oppose it with the same degree of harshness that the Puritans did. But the Puritans, and if you were to read the full sermon by Spurgeon, Spurgeon really seems to be, he points out that what the Puritans objected to was that the Christmas celebration was not really celebrating the birth of Christ back in those earlier centuries, that it had become a time of debauchery and drunkenness and people who were just partying and behaving in an immoral manner, and that that was the problem, and that that was why the Puritans had banned the holiday. There's a few more things I wanted to address on the program, some quick details. One, is the Christmas date, December 25th, is that really the feast of Saturnalia? This is one of the things that you hear over and over and over again. It's just like the Christmas tree. Oh, I wanted to talk about the Christmas tree very quickly. The Christmas tree, being a post-Reformation invention, is often traced to Martin Luther. And there are those who believe this story, and there are others who do not. They think it's really more of a myth about Luther, that supposedly Martin Luther, the great reformer, was the first person to ever set up a Christmas tree. And that supposedly, well, here, I'll read this right off a blog on the Christmas tree. This is from a blog called Practical Faith. I know nothing about it. This is just an example. Here's what it says. It says, quote, in the early 1500s, a man named Martin Luther introduced the practice of putting candles on trees to celebrate Christmas. Luther was the father of the Protestant Reformation. Instead of copying the pagans, he said that Isaiah 60 and verse 13 was the biblical reason for this idea. And Isaiah 60, 13 says, quote, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Okay, now some believe that the reference to the fir tree there, I mean, fir trees are typically Christmas trees. And according to this account, and I've read this before on other websites, etc., similar things, similar accounts, but that Martin Luther is often credited with having come up with the first Christmas tree. Whether it was Luther or not, because not everybody agrees to that. It's from this era, it's from this generation where the Christmas trees begin to show up historically. They do not come from the ancient world 1,500 years earlier. That's not where they come from. And so that's one of the problems. People are dealing with misinformation. They're just dealing with wrong information, other wrong information. The idea that the Feast of Saturnalia was on December 25th. No, it wasn't. It was December 17th through the 23rd. The 23rd of December was the end of that feast. The 25th of December was actually chosen for a different reason. And I've talked about this. I talked about it last year. And the reason was because according to Jewish tradition, a prophet died on the day of his conception. The date of Christ's death was said to be March 25th. And so that was perceived by the early church to be, or that was chosen because of this Jewish tradition, as the date of his conception. So you count forward 9 months from March 25th. That brings you to December 25th. That's how the date December 25th was chosen. Then some will try to argue that it's the worship of Saul Invictus. But in reality, Saul Invictus worship begins in 274 AD, about 75 years after the first recorded Christmas celebration by Christians. And I've talked about this before. The worship of Saul Invictus seems to have been imposed to try and cover up the Christian holiday, not the other way around. Not the other way around. Big difference. And really, this is what we're seeing today, brethren. Even now in our country, we are seeing the pagan, anti-Christian element trying to phase out Christianity, trying to remove Christianity from our culture, from our courts, from our government, from the schools, etc. And it was really no different 2,000 years ago. But this Christmas season, I want to close with this verse, one of the most beautiful two verses in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." All right, brethren, that's it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there. Merry Christmas, and we hope and pray that you all have a wonderful and blessed new year. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.